All right, so be honest. Is that sometimes what we end up making Christmas out to be? That we kind of like the idea of a very safe little baby that's born and put in a feed trough and, you know. But I think sometimes we have a hard time wrestling with the Jesus who grew up. And the image of Jesus, I mean, it's such a, what a great image, a symbol. You know, you drive anywhere right now and see a nativity scene, some of them live. You know, some churches will have, you know, some people out there doing it live. And just that image of Jesus being born and, you know, the humble situation, we're drawn to that. But is that all we celebrate when we celebrate Christmas? When we talk about a birthday and we celebrate a birthday, it's so, I think it's so much more than just wrestling with Jesus in a manger. That's a big part of it. But there is a story that is part of this that we need to understand the whole story and understand what Jesus' birth really means. Just for a few minutes, that's what I want to talk to you about. This past summer, I had my 11th annual 29th birthday. And for those of you who are slow at math, too bad. Anyway, my family threw a surprise party for me, and it was a lot of fun. In this surprise party, I got home. And if you've never seen the movie Three Amigos, I'm sorry, you should have. It's one of the funniest movies ever made, and I laugh every time I see it. But anyway, they did a Three Amigos party that was like a big Mexican fiesta. And my wife and family bought enough Mexican food for 1,000 people. We had about 80. And so we ate Mexican food for 3 months. We still have frozen rice in my freezer at home if you need some. Anyway, and so we had this big birthday party, and it was a great, great time. And I felt very, very honored by the people who showed up and shared with me. I got some gifts that were you know, very thoughtful, and others that were heartless, and you all need to repent and come back to Jesus now if you gave me something that reminded me of my age. But anyway, you know, birthday parties are a lot of fun. But imagine if I'd have shown up at my birthday party and been hanging out. And I got there, you know, and people kind of threw off streamers. But they did it before I got there. And then when I got there, you know, somebody might have waved. But I spent the whole birthday party kind of walking around, and nobody would even acknowledge me. Nobody would even point out that I was there or say hi or even look at me and say happy birthday. They all brought presents, but instead of giving them to me, they gave them to each other. They were just kind of exchanging gifts to one another. Hey, we're here to celebrate Mike's birthday. Here's a gift. You know, and that was kind of the whole get up. And I would have stood there hanging around going, you know, hey, hello, I'm here. And finally, I probably would have gone and watched football because I would have been kind of bothered by that. Is that Christmas at your household? Is that what happens that maybe you celebrate the birthday of Jesus, but you never really stop and acknowledge that it's really his birthday? I don't want that to happen in my home. I want us to always remember what this holiday ultimately is. It is the birthday of God Almighty who became flesh and dwelt among us. It is a time for us to celebrate the greatest miracle and the greatest person who ever lived. And so just for a few minutes, I just want to talk to you about maybe what it means to celebrate the birth of Jesus and how that works. If you think about the Bible and creation, you need to understand that God created people in his image. He created us to reflect Jesus and to have a relationship with God. But very early in the story of the Bible, there's a big problem. And that problem is that Adam and Eve, the first two people, and you and I, just kind of right in line, instead of choosing to use our position that God created us to have a relationship with God, we chose it to serve and honor ourselves. And so from the beginning of the Bible, God begins to lay out this plan that someday he is going to send his son. And all through, for over 2,000 years, God begins to whisper into the hearts of people that he has a plan that will deal with the brokenness, the pain, and the wickedness that's in our heart, our desire to kind of be our own boss and call our own shots, and our broken relationship with our Creator who created us, who gave us creation as a gift. The Bible really teaches us that God gave creation as a gift to humanity for us to enjoy it and to be involved with it. But we chose to take that position God gave us and just break things off and live our lives for ourselves. I don't know about you. I do that. I live my life so often just to honor myself and please myself and live for me instead of realizing that I'm created for something so much more. And so for 2,000 years, God was whispering that he had a plan. And that plan was going to be the sending of his son. And when we celebrate Christmas, we are celebrating when Jesus finally showed up. God became a man and became a human being. And the story of that baby in the manger, I'm amazed. I don't know if you've ever wrestled with the fact that baby in the manger was omniscient. Omnipotent, meaning that he knew everything and had all power. That baby in that manger, that 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus, was the one who spoke the universes into existence. That's who that baby in the manger is. It's not just some cute little baby. This is God in flesh, an amazing thing. And God came to dwell among us. And we're going to talk about, you know, when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, I think there's 3 aspects of what it means that Jesus is born that we need to celebrate, that I hope that it's what I celebrate. When I celebrate Christmas, I take it so much farther than just Jesus born, put in a manger. And I think there's a lot more to it. And I hope that this is what you celebrate when you celebrate Christmas. And so I'm just going to kind of throw these things out here and hope that you will celebrate the Jesus that the Bible pictures. You know, not the Jesus who, you know, comes as a ninja or is singing for Lynyrd Skynyrd. I don't think that's the right Jesus, okay? But the Jesus that the Bible shows us, because he is the answer for my issues, my problems, my sin, your sin. And so the first thing that we celebrate, of course, is Jesus born in Bethlehem. Now, if you have a Bible, we're going to look at just a few verses. Ben read them a few minutes ago out of Luke chapter 2. If you don't, at the end of your row, in fact, if you're near the end of a row, just reach down and take a couple Bibles and pass them down. Those are for you. If you don't have a Bible at home, or yours is kind of old, or in a translation you don't understand, this is our gift to you. We'd love for you to keep that, take it home, use it, read it. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2 in that Bible. Our Bibles that you're picking up, it's going to be on page 732. And I'm going to read a few verses. If you remember the story, of course, if you're around Christmas long enough, you kind of remember the story that Mary and Joseph were engaged to be married, and then all of a sudden there was a problem. She was pregnant. And, you know, at first we have big issues. Joseph not real crazy about the idea of having a pregnant girlfriend because he knew he wasn't the dad. But then an angel spoke to him as well and told him, listen, this baby that your fiance is carrying is literally the Son of God. And the angel tells Joseph, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to go ahead and marry her. What a tough thing to say, all right, you know, how do you explain that? Yeah, this is my girlfriend, my fiance. We're getting married. She's pregnant. Oh, dude, not, it's not my kid. Well, whose kid is it? God's. Yeah, that's a believable story, isn't it? That's going to go over to your family real well. An angel spoke to me. Yeah, Joseph, sure he did. You know, and so Joseph has to live with this. But then they leave the town of Nazareth and they go to the town of Bethlehem. And when they get to Bethlehem, they get there. And, because of the census that the Roman emperor had called people to, because of the census, there was no place to go. There were no rooms in the inn, and we kind of think, you know, Holiday Inn or, you know, Ramada Inn or Hampton. You know, when it says there's no room at the inn, what it's saying is there's this building that is like has hay over here for people and hay over here for animals. You check your animals here, you sleep over here, one big room. But that was so full that they didn't have a place to go. And so the Bible tells us that you know, they ended up in a place where Jesus was born, and the only place that they had to put Jesus was in a manger, a feed trough. And so this story is going on. Now I want you to wrestle with, if this happened today, okay, here, you got to feel the story, because sometimes these images that you see of the nativity scenes make it way too pretty, all right? If it happened today, I believe it would be maybe a teenage girl going to Pacific High School, all right, comes and tells her boyfriend that she's pregnant. And the boyfriend marries her, and they go on a camping trip, right? And they have the baby out in the middle of the woods around Dithmer. And they're kind of hanging out around Dithmer, you know, out in the middle of the sticks. There's nothing out there. And when they get out there, the campground's full, and all they can do is find a little barn. And they find this little barn out in the middle of the hills, out there in the middle of nowhere. And they have a baby, and all they got to do is lay the baby in the little feeding thing that's full of hay and straw and all this other stuff, and they put the baby there, and the baby, that's all they got. And meanwhile, out in the field, there's a bunch of coon hunters. See, with shepherds, you know, we see the shepherds and they seem to be very formal, nice-looking gentlemen. No, they were a bunch of, you know, outdoors. They were the lowest people in that culture, you know. So here's these guys, they're out in the middle of the night and they look up and there's angels. And can you imagine them, you know, we see, you know, this image of them going, oh, we saw the angels. And they, what a blessed event. I think they probably went, it was pandelirium. We was out there in the middle of them sheep, and you wouldn't believe what happened. We looked up, and the sky lit up. There's this dude, man. He told us all this stuff. I mean, you know, it was a crazy event. And when God showed up in Bethlehem and brought his son, he brought him to the most unlikely, distant, foreign place that you would think that God would send his son. And that's the story in Luke 2. And so the angels show up and they begin to talk to these shepherds. They begin to share with these guys what's going on. Now, if I was God, I would have announced it to the governor. I would have announced it to the kings. But no, God chose to announce the birth of his son to the lowest people on the totem pole, shepherds. And as they're talking to him, there's an amazing thing. This is what I want to read with you. In Luke chapter 2, verse 8 is where we'll begin. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And an angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." This angel has a pronouncement. It's an interesting pronouncement. When I had my kids, the doctor, you know, right after the birth of my children, would bring the baby to me and say, "It's a boy. You have had a boy. Unto you has been born a boy." Or Alex was born. "Unto you is born a girl." And then Josiah was born, you know, and we kind of knew with Josiah, but still that just that actual event where we found out this is a boy. And unto you has been born this day, Josiah or Alex. And the language here is kind of like that. It's very interesting. If you were to talk about it and you were to come visit my hospital room and see our baby, and you would go out and say, you know, unto Mike and Heidi have been born a boy. Mike and Heidi had a girl. That's kind of the language here. I want you to notice this. When the angels are talking to the shepherds, notice that they do not say to the shepherds, "Hey, Mary and Joseph had a boy." What they say is, or what the angel says is, "Unto you has been born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." I love that because it's really this understanding that the angels are letting these shepherds know that even though they are not the earthly parents, Jesus came as if he was part of their family. He came unto them. So unto you has been born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And there's the whole story of the birth of Jesus. What a great picture of everything that goes on where Jesus is born in this situation. Eventually these guys from the east show up with gifts. And there's all kinds of great stuff. But I want you to understand, Jesus did not stay in a manger. Jesus did not stay a little infant. Jesus grew up to be a man. For 30 years, he lived as a carpenter, which means he and his dad were construction workers. They worked with their hands. They wore caterpillar t-shirts. I mean, you know, they were men, manly men who served in a trade that was tough. And he knew how to hammer things, and he knew how to nail things. He knew how to cut boards. But then after 30 years of his life, Jesus became this leader and this teacher. He called a group of people around him, and they followed him. And Jesus taught them what it meant to live in the kingdom of God. And eventually, after 3 years, Jesus gave his life. He went through an ordeal where Roman soldiers took him because the Jewish people didn't like him. They put him on a cross, and they nailed his hands and his feet to the cross. They put him up between heaven and earth, and he died there. And all this was part of God's plan. And when I celebrate the birth of Jesus, I've got to get beyond the 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus, and I got to get to the point where I understand that Jesus was a man, but it was God in flesh. And he gave his life for you and for me. And so I celebrate. When I celebrate, I do celebrate the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. But I want you to understand that I understand that Jesus lived this life and he lived the life I couldn't live. And then he died the death I should have died. But 3 days later, Jesus came back to life and he rose from the dead. And from that situation, I want you to understand that also, not only do I celebrate Jesus you know, born in Bethlehem, but I also celebrate Jesus, the firstborn from the dead. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "And he before all things, he is before all things, and in him all things are held together. He's the head of the body of the church, in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent." Listen, Jesus did not stay in the grave. He didn't stay in the manger. He also didn't stay in the grave. Jesus gave his life for you and for me, but 3 days later, God rose him up from the dead, and he is alive. And when I celebrate Christmas, part of what I am celebrating is that Jesus was the firstborn from the dead. Now, firstborn implies something. There's going to be others. There are going to be others who have a relationship with their Creator through Jesus, who will experience the same type of resurrection that Jesus did. That's a blessing to know that you can have life everlasting as a result of the life that Jesus gave, lived and died for you and for me. And so I celebrate the fact that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. I love this baseball season. The Cardinals thing was just nuts. I don't know if you were like me, but I had a hard time. You know, I was watching the Cardinals. I just kept telling Andy all season, they're not very good. They're not really a good baseball team. And I kind of had lost interest in the Cardinals because they were struggling so bad. In fact, you know this, near the end of the season, they almost gave the whole season away. And just in the last 2 days of the season, they barely get in the playoffs. And so I have all these people that, you know, if I just kind of make a few phone calls, usually I can get some playoff tickets. I didn't even try. I went, they're going to lose. They're not any good. They're just going to fall out of the playoffs. They're going to get killed by the Padres. They're going to get killed by the Mets. My son even is going around going, there is no way they can beat the Tigers. I mean, we just kind of had that mindset. And so I didn't call anybody. I didn't want to waste money to go watch a team who's just going to get killed, right? And then about halfway through the Mets series, all of a sudden I began to realize, holy cow, they might win this thing. And of course, by then it was too late. All the people that I knew who had tickets had already sold them all or given them all away. I had no way to get any tickets. So I sat at home in my living room and I watched as, you know, the Cardinals' improbable thing happened and the victory of celebrating that. Well, I want to tell you in the same way, people looked at Jesus, he was in the grave, and they went, it's over. No way. But 3 days later, the most improbable thing that ever happened on this planet, a man who was crucified on a cross came back to life. And when I celebrate Jesus, when I celebrate Christmas, I'm not just celebrating the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. I'm celebrating the fact that he is the firstborn from the dead. He came back from the dead. And I celebrate that. But there's also something else I celebrate. And that is Jesus who was born in me. Just tell you briefly a little bit about my life story. I grew up in church. I was one of those good kids who, you know, didn't get in a lot of trouble. But when I was 7 years old, something happened in my life that changed the events of my life forever. When I was seven, I was at a service kind of like this, and I don't have a clue what the guy said when he was preaching, but I know this. My heart got tagged that night, and I realized that the God of this universe who created all that is spoke into my life and helped me understand what it meant to trust Jesus. In a very seven-year-old way, that night, I went home, spent some time with my parents. They talked to me about what it meant to repent, which meant I needed to turn from myself and the fact that I choose me over a relationship with God all the time. And I needed to turn and trust him. And they talked to me about what it meant to give my life to Christ. And that night, I did that. I literally, in a seven-year-old way, I gave my life to Christ. But I want to tell you that that is the most important single thing that's ever happened in my life. Because that night, at age seven, the Jesus who was born in a manger and who was the firstborn from the dead came into my life and changed me from the inside out. And the Bible talks about the fact that I must be born again. John chapter 3 says that. And what that literally means is I need to have Christ in me to bring life that I can't bring to myself. No religion, good works, nothing else can replace that. Only Christ in my life could do that. And so when I celebrate Christmas, when I celebrate the birthday of Jesus, I'm literally celebrating Jesus born in a manger, yes, and became a man, and Jesus who's firstborn of the dead, but also I celebrate Christ born in me. And my prayer for you this Christmas is that that's what you celebrate, that you celebrate the fact that Jesus came and you know, we think about the manger. We'll go home. We actually have a little manger scene in our living room. We're going to read the story tonight and have our kids act it out with all the little, you know, nativity people. And we will celebrate that. But I also hope that you celebrate not just that 8-pound, 6-ounce baby Jesus, but the Jesus that became a man. I hope that you celebrate the risen Jesus. And I also hope that you can celebrate the fact that you've given your life to Christ and you celebrate Jesus in you. And so as we talk about Christmas, that's what we're talking about. And, you know, if that is the result, then as we celebrate that, what we're going to do is we're going to worship him. We're going to realize that as we sing, we're doing more than just singing songs. We're literally singing to the Jesus who came for me. God became a man and gave his life for me. And so for the next few minutes, we're going to sing a couple more songs. Bands that can come out here. And we're going to be singing a few more Christmas carols. Karis is going to sing the first one. It'll be a familiar one. You just kind of sit back and listen, and then she'll have you join, stand and join her. We're going to sing a few more. But my hopes for you is that as we go for the next, you know, into however you celebrate Christmas, that you are able to worship the Jesus, just like the shepherds did, just like the wise men did, but worship him because literally you have met him and you know him and you have a relationship with him. And if that's not you, after service is over, I'm going to be down here hanging out. We'll have other people around. And we just love to talk to you about what that means and just share with you how the Jesus who was born, placed in a manger, can change your life from the inside out. He can be born in you. I'm going to pray, and after that, they're going to sing. And we just pray that'll be a celebration in your life tonight. Jesus, I love you and I praise you. I thank you for, coming in that way, of not coming and being born in a grand place, but coming to the most simple of situations, which proves that you'll reach down to everybody, anybody and everybody. And I thank you that when I was 7, you reached into my heart and changed me. And Lord, I just pray that tonight as we celebrate the birth of Jesus, you will remind us that there's so much more than just the Jesus in the manger. But we are celebrating that God became a man and he is victorious. And I just pray, Lord, that this will be a time where our hearts will turn to you. In your name I pray. Amen.